This is James Throgmorton, and today I want to speak about religion, man's religion. God created man with a nature to want a religion, to look to something higher than himself. And man has invented a great variety of religions. The scientific community has invented a religion of their own, that there is no God. I read a little article this last week where they were trying to prove that the universe could come into existence from nothing without a God, without a creator. And so their concept of no God and nature creating everything is a religion. Those of us in the Church of God that are Sabbath keepers and holy day keepers and try to be law keepers certainly teach that we should keep God's law. Our religion, we hope, is based on God's religion. But that's not always true. I want to analyze that a little today because, like I mentioned earlier, if God had not revealed himself to mankind, mankind would have just invented their own religion. And look at all the religions in the world. Now, I've heard it said, and then I've heard people sort of scoff at it, that, well, all those religions can't be right. Well, that's very true. Most of them that man's had anything to do have error in them. And that's one thing we really need to stop and realize about ourselves. On our website, we have a line that says, quoted from the Bible, "Prove all things, hold fast that's true." Now, proof is a relative thing to human beings. All these religions have proved to themselves that their religion is correct, and they've held fast to it. I remember in the Church of God when I had it proved to me, and I believed it, and I held fast to it until I saw the error. I had it taught to me that Pentecost always occurred on a Monday. I heard people prove, and they held fast to it until about 1976, that Christ was going to return in 1975. The tribulation was going to start in 1972. Now, I never actually believed that myself. I was a lot newer in the faith in those days, but I basically said to myself, I'm just going to see what happens. I'm going to see what happens. And I also heard people that had proven it apparently to themselves and tried to prove it to everybody else in 1976, say we didn't say it. You know, so man can justify any stand he takes. What we need to realize, and that's what I want to talk about today, is because I want us to look at man's religions and I want us to look at our own religions, our own beliefs. Not question the fundamentals. We know the things that come right from the mouth of God. We know the Ten Commandments. We know the teachings of Jesus Christ. We know the basic doctrines of Christ that are listed in Hebrews 6, and we'll talk about that a little later. We know those things, and we need to hold fast to those truths, the fundamental things, but we do need to move past that sometimes. If you remember, and I referred to it in the last sermon I gave online, that Hebrews 5 says that we need to be weaned from milk. We need to move past the milk. And then it goes on to Hebrews 6 and tells us that those basic doctrines are the milk, and we need to move to the meat. Well, you know, as a person and as a minister, from time to time I've made the mistake of trying to give somebody that was still on milk a little meat. And that was my mistake because they choked on it. Because it's much harder for a human being to unlearn error than it is to learn new truth. Unlearning error is the hardest thing that a human being can do, because it has to deal with their own nature, and they have proven it, they're holding fast to it. But we've got to remember, as Paul told, that we see through a glass dimly. Understand that I see through a glass dimly. But I think it's important that we seek truth and understanding, and there's a lot of places that we can find truth and understanding. You know, I've heard people say very arrogantly, "My church, we go by the Bible." Well, they all say that, and I like to think that myself. You know, when somebody disagrees with something that I might have said, or a concept that I might be working on, because sometimes working on a concept, you're talking to somebody that you think is a friendly hearer, you let your guard down and you teach. You tell, you share. Everybody likes to do that. You have to be careful who you do that with, because they may not be able to digest it. They may not be able to look at it and say, "Hey, there might be some truth here." Now, I want to talk about the way we get truth. You know, I've seen people that they would disagree with some thing that was very plain in the Bible, maybe, or disagree with something that someone might have said. I had some people back some time ago that disagreed with me venomously over just the fact that I'd been to Israel and I reported on some of the things I saw very honestly and truthfully, and it contradicted their Protestant concepts. And so a couple of them had the audacity to ask me, "Who corrects you?" Well, they were attempting to. I didn't even answer them. But I'll tell you right now who corrects me. The truth corrects me. Facts correct me. Some of these same people have asked, "What scripture do you have?" I said, "Well, I don't have one, but I believe it." Well, that's not proof. That's not even an intelligent approach to anything. Now, religious people take one view of the universe and one view of God's creation. They don't look at the whole picture. They don't look at all the evidence. And I don't have time today to talk about all the evidence, but I want to talk about some of it. A system that God has made, a system that God created when He created the universe from nothing. And He didn't need quantum physics, which, as I understand it, is basically we'll make up the laws and rules as we go along. But there are absolute physical laws and concepts, and if you would, fingerprints that God built into the universe. And we need to look at some of those things. To authenticate the Bible, we need to look at man's history sometime. I'll give you an example. Longest prophecy in the Bible, given to Daniel by an angel, and I won't go back and turn to it today, but that prophecy would mean virtually nothing if we didn't have man's history, secular man's history, to see that those prophecies have been fulfilled up to a point in time. They haven't been fulfilled all the way yet. That's a lot of it's still future. And you can't do that with the Bible itself. You have to look out. That God tells us in Romans, the first chapter, and I'm going to read this starting in verse 20. "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead." Do you understand what that is? The Godhead is what God is and how He does everything. And it tells us we can look at the creation. Now, there's a couple ways of looking at the creation. An emotional religious person, and I will mention that man's religions are usually built on the concept of human emotion. And human emotion is a good thing. But it is can be a trap. It can be a trap for everybody, and it certainly can be a trap for the truth. It can be a trap for understanding the truth of God. Now, I remember hearing one minister say that he understood 95% of the Bible. Well, that's not true. He actually proved that himself in his lifetime, because most of the things he prognosticated didn't come true, and none of us understand that. I'll repeat, as Paul said, we see through a glass dimly. I had somebody write me a letter one time that took issue with something, an opinion I held on something, and, you know, I don't argue religion with people because only God wins a religious argument. You need to remember that. I will refer to the scriptures, and I'll be honest and tell people what I think, or like I say, in some cases, what I'm researching. Had a person that sent me a letter because he disagreed with a concept that I had that I was working on that was in the development stage that I made the mistake of sharing with him, that he would pray to God that the Holy Spirit would lead me to agree with him. That's what he said. I've never seen such self-righteousness, such hypocrisy, because I don't necessarily want you to agree with me unless I might be right. Everything I have ever said is subject to the Word of God. It's subject to truth. It's subject to fact. Now, I want to look and reflect for a minute on religious people and science. And most people that are religious people, when you say the word science, they curl their socks up with their toes because it scares them. Just like the scientist, you say God, he curls his socks up with his toes. Same thing. They respond exactly the same way and fail to look at the evidence. In Romans, it tells us that we can look at the creation. Look at the creation itself. Now, the religious person will look out at the beautiful sunset and said, there's a God. That's pretty foolish. There's no proof there. It's a beautiful sunset caused by the sun and the Earth's atmosphere and particles in the atmosphere. And it is caused by the laws of physics that operate the universe and what happens to light when it passes through the atmosphere, all those things. But it doesn't prove the existence of God. The system that God has built into the universe proves the existence of God. That there's order in the universe. Everything happens from fingerprints to spectrographic analysis of being able to learn a lot of things about all different substances. And I won't go into the details on all of this because it would bore people and it might be a little over their head in some cases. But I'll ask a couple of questions just to see how your knowledge might be about things. We're approaching the 4th of July and we're having a very hot year. Now, we didn't have a real cold winter, but we all know that we get our heat from the sun. Is the sun closer to us in July than it is in January? Is that why it's warmer? No, actually, if you want all the truth, our closest approach to the sun this year was January the 4th. And our farthest point away from the sun this year will be July the 4th. Because it has to do with the angle of the Earth's axis and the fact that the sun shines directly on the northern hemisphere, and it's our summer. As the Earth's axis changes in relation to the sun, it'll come wintertime, it'll be shining on the southern hemisphere. Simple thing, but God built a system in. And you know, again, I mentioned DNA, and we've got some articles online that we've mentioned DNA. Again, people crinkle their socks up with their toes when they hear the word or hear some scientific thing. Is DNA an absolute? No. Man tries to jostle it around. We can see the evidence of that. But it's a real thing. Man's ability to interpret it and put it together is what's limited. God's system is not limited. And when we can look out at the creation and look at history, and it proves the Word of God, to me, that's using the creation to do just exactly what Paul told us to do in Romans, and helps us do what Paul told Timothy. Rightly divide the word of truth. Rightly divide the word of truth. Our human lives, and particularly those of us that have been called to the first resurrection, our human lives are a process of learning, of increasing knowledge. Knowledge about God. You know, Jesus Christ himself said that he learned by the things that he suffered. As we go through our human life, that's what it's for. That's what mankind is doing now, is learning a lesson. And, you know, I've used the scripture many times, so I'm not going to turn to it today, but the Bible plainly says that all the things that happened in the past, that the Bible was written down for the admonition of those people that were alive in the future. And so that we could learn by their mistakes, so we could back up our religion with facts, biblical facts and scientific facts. I'll give you a little thing on DNA. And like I say, man's knowledge is limited. And DNA and scientists are no different than historians have been. Historians slant history. We have to realize that. But look at all these different religions. How have they slanted everything? It's no different. It's no different. It's exactly the same. If we want facts and truth and information, that's why I said that's the thing that corrects me. Facts, truth, evidence. Word of God, point blank. You know, I mention this nearly every sermon. Fourth commandment's real plain. It's God 1-1, firsthand. People go in every direction with that. There's a lot of places we can obtain facts. I want to mention something about the DNA. And I think it's amazing. And DNA is like fingerprints and everything else. It's not that the system that God has established is in error or problem. Man's ability to interpret them, to use them, to put them together properly is the limitation. Man's ability is the limitation, not the system God's built in the universe. Anytime that we can see that system proven by evidence, and I'll give you one little example, and I think I've mentioned this before. I forget whether I did in a recorded sermon or not, but the DNA experts say that, and they're evolutionists, they're anti-God, but they say that the human race as it exists today, mankind, all the different races, came through four females. So they're pretty darn accurate. Because my Bible tells me that the human race came through four females. Eve and Noah's daughter-in-laws. Fact, Word of God, substantiated by modern DNA that is just the infancy in man's understanding. It's probably like spectrographic analysis was, of being able to look at light and determine all that light that comes across the universe has all sorts of information in it. Every element that ever touched, speed, just all sorts of things. And the same way with DNA. It's just that with spectrographic analysis, we don't know how to use it all. We don't know how to analyze it all. We don't know how to get it all. We just got a little glimpse of that. The scientific part of it is like our view of God's realm and His system. We see through a glass dimly. They see through a glass dimly. It's full of errors. You know, those of us in the Church of God, we get together on the Sabbath, and the Bible does command holy convocations on that day. It says to get together. But if we're naive enough to think that the kind of service we have is necessarily the service that we had, that the early New Testament church had, we're pretty naive. Because the modern Church of God service, and I'm not saying that it's some kind of evil thing, but the modern service is based on American and English Protestantism. It's not even mentioned based on the Church of England or the Lutheran Church and some of those. It's basically based on Protestantism. And we feel good about it. We've proven that to ourselves. Is having that sort of church service evil? Well, no, I don't think so. Not if you're there to worship God. But if you think that's the God-established way, you're mistaken. It's just what we do because we don't know what else to do. That's it. Early New Testament church, there's no place where they had hymns, except one place after the Passover. They sang a hymn. Does that mean that hymns and music is out? No, it doesn't. It just means God didn't tell us. And we find the early New Testament church, a lot of the times that they were gathered together, they gathered together to eat. So I guess they could have the name that, you know, the Church of God has had a lot of names down through the ages. Church of God, modern times, Church of God Seventh Day, Radio Church of God, the Worldwide Church of God, the Church of God International, all these different names. I've laughingly, with tongue in cheek, said that I thought the church had become the potluck Church of God. That may have been true with the early New Testament church, because at least on the first day of the Feast of Weeks every year, they got together and they broke bread. They had food. And a lot of people misinterpret that. But and again, that's a subject for a different day. But the truth of the matter is that we don't know. We don't know what kind of religious service is desired. You know, in ancient Israel, what we read, the people congregated. There was a holy convocation on the holy days, and the Sabbath, most likely, and they heard the law read. Now, in the early days in the Old Testament, the synagogues are not mentioned that the Jews used today, and we're using it in Christ's time. They may have existed. Probably did have some sort of thing, but actually the priests lived scattered throughout the land of Israel. If you had a farm operation, you might have a resident priest living with you that helped educate your children, that did service to you actually from God. That's why God gave the priests the tithe. And so we don't particularly understand that system completely. But just because one generation had a certain system, God allowed, God accepted, doesn't necessarily mean that that's the way it'll be. How it will be in the millennium, I don't know. But like I said, anciently, the people on the, particularly the holy days, they had a holy convocation. That means they got together and stood out there and the priest read the law to them. They didn't sit on soft foam cushions. They listened to the law being read from the parchment rolls, probably. And so when we get to thinking, you know, we have this, unfortunately, people carry with them this, in the modern church, this Protestant attitude: if you don't belong to my church and believe the way I believe, you're going to hell. Now, in the Church of God, we don't say going to hell, but people sort of imply that. If you don't agree with me, after all, I know I'm right. You know, that's human nature. That's human nature. I'll tell you one thing for sure. I know I'm probably wrong about more things than I'm right. But there's something that I'm doing that I won't stop doing. And we turn back to Isaiah 28. Well, I'll just quote it. Precept on precept, here a little, there a little, in a stammering tongue, in another language will I speak to this people. God says that. He repeats it twice in Isaiah. But before he says that, he says, to whom will I teach knowledge? It says, from him that is weaned from milk and from the breast. Somebody that's capable of eating meat. I have made the mistake quite a few times in my life in my enthusiasm to share, to give somebody a piece of meat, and it choked them to death. That was a mistake in judgment on my part. But it doesn't keep me from seeking the truth, from seeking facts, from looking out at God's creation to understand His Godhead and His power. And anytime I can find a fact, historical or scientific, that backs up the Word of God, I have proven the existence of Almighty God. This has been James Throgmorton speaking to you for the Churches of God.